Brody
sports talk.
Brody sports talk. Brody sports talk. Brody sports talk.
What's up, Brody?
You better watch out. You better not cry because the Brodies are back in town. That's right. It is season 5, episode 31 of Brody Sports Talk. My name is Caleb Walgren, your humble and yet the founder of Brody Sports Talk. I'm a humble host here. And I'm joined by a fantastic man who does not prefer to wear red. He prefers orange. And that is Derek Rustin. Derek, how are you doing today?
Hello, everyone. I am just getting out of the transfer portal. It's really crowded in there, so I think I'll stay in on this podcast. I'm pulling my name out as I don't – no one wanted me. No one wanted to pay me my NIL money. I did go to another podcast, ask them how much they would pay me, and then just ran back to Caleb because he treats me so well.
I mean, if anything else, we're excited by all the bowl gifts we're getting this year. Pop-Tarts, Cheez-Its, Duke's Mayo, like all of these great sponsors of bowl games this year. Potatoes, we're getting some potatoes, like classic bowl games for this coming season. But let's just do a quick rundown of what we're going to talk about on the show today. We, of course, have our Brody spotlights, some over-under results from our predictions before the season, our playoff locks, aka the teams that are for sure locked into the playoffs at this point, our goats of the week. Then we're going to have a little fun with some Christmassy jingle and the football season that we have had, our game of the week, and then last but not least, our Brody bets. So, Derek, I'm going to go ahead and normally I like to give it to you here, but I'm going to jump in because I feel like being – I'm there. I'm there, Packer fans. You know I'm the owner. I'm trying not to push Matt LaFleur's hand. But at some point, something has got to give, and something has got to give with Joe Barry and this defense. This past week, our defense got torched at home by Baker Mayfield to the tune of 381 yards and 4 touchdowns. It is the first perfect passer rating that has ever been given up at Lambeau Field to an opposing quarterback. I've had enough. I'm sick of it. Like, we didn't get any sacks against Tommy DeVito when we played him on Monday night. Like, yes, we got to Baker, but, like, Chris Godwin had all day. Rashad White was able to do whatever he wanted. Mike Evans was fantastic. You know, we were all, even giving up touchdowns to someone like David Moore, who had no touchdowns before this game. Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator of the Packers, I'm finally there. I usually reserve judgment. I try not to push for it too early in the year. It is time for him to be fired. Enough is enough, Joe Barry. Be gone.
I'm going to agree with you on that one. This is a storied franchise, and, you know, they should have, I mean, I don't want to say their pick of defensive coordinators, but, like, they have a lot of talent. They always invest in the defense, in the draft. You've got a really good quarterback. You've got a good offensive coach. What are you, like, why are you allowing this to happen on your defensive side? They can't, you can't let them lose you games. So we are going to be in agreement on that one. I don't like to call people's jobs, but as we are getting toward the end of the year, let's just not bring him back next year.
So I'm going to tell you this, Derek, because I saw this pop up as an article, and how full circle this would be between the two of us. But with Frank Reich getting fired, I saw someone say that perhaps the Packers defensive coordinator next year would be Ejiro Evero.
Don't.
If he does not get a head coaching job somewhere else.
I mean, because you know he's not going to be in Carolina next year. Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you take a shot on him? Don't. That's so rude. I'm gonna walk off of this Ejiro Evero thoughts. I miss you. Please come back to the Denver Broncos. You did such a good job. We won't
and
yell
Derek
at you.
Misses you so much that we just want to give you some cheese curds. Come on, man. So Derek, I know that probably burned you a little bit there, but I am going to go to you. You know, I stole that opening spotlight. I want to make sure you have time to shine with your spotlight. What are you shining the spotlight on this week?
Okay. So my take is mistakes will cost you a Super Bowl. And this is me shining a light on the Philadelphia Eagles. You probably don't need a spotlight being shown on them, as you've heard comments from the sick QB. You've heard comments from linemen, all that kind of stuff. But what I want to kind of focus on is of how good you have to be in one year versus another year to make it to the Super Bowl to be that team. So let's just look at the 2022 Eagles, who went to the Super Bowl versus the Chiefs last year, versus the 2023 Eagles. Through 14 games last season, because we're through 14 games this season, they were 13-1. Their only loss was to Commanders by 11 points. Through 14 games this year, they're 10-4. They've lost to the Jets, not a good loss. Lost to the 49ers, that's a quality loss. The Cowboys, well, you're going to lose half of those games probably. And then they just lost to the Seahawks. If you average out those losses, they are averaging 13 points per loss. They got blown up by the 49ers by 23 points, and they lost by 20 points to the Cowboys. So their defense certainly isn't doing what it did last year, as we can see that they're not keeping things close with the better teams. So I remember many years ago, because I'm an old person, where the New Orleans Saints beat the Indianapolis Colts in the Super Bowl, and the Saints were never like the best team in the NFC or anything like that. But they had one shining season where they just turned over the ball, or they got so many turnovers from their defense that they just could not be stopped. Well, I think the 2022 Eagles were that team. So last year, there were 30 turnovers by the defense. They got 30 extra possessions that they should not have had. I mean, if you go in by the basis of the game, 17 of those were interceptions. This year, the Philly defense has 6 interceptions. That's 11 possessions that they have not had. This year, they are giving up 30 touchdowns in the passing game. You know, because we talk about the secondary of the Eagles being the weak point nowadays. Also, their time of possession has gone down by a full 2 minutes per game this year. So this year, it is 31 minutes versus 29 minutes. So they hold a 2 minute lead in the time of possession per game on average. Last year, that was about 33 minutes to 27 minutes. So it's probably a whole nother possession. You know, because you're talking about a possession that's probably about 4 minutes if you're moving the ball halfway decently. That's a whole nother chance for them to score, for them to run the ball more. And so one of the things that's hurting them the most is that Jalen Hurts has 17 turnovers on his own. 5 fumbles, 4 of them have been lost, and 12 interceptions. That's just giving the other team a chance to score or to keep you from scoring. That's stopping your possession and giving them an extra one. These are all mistakes that the Eagles are making, and that's the difference between last year where they were going to Super Bowl. I mean, like, by this time during the year, okay, we're on cruise control. We've got the number one seed on lock. We've got the East on lock, basically. I mean, Cowboys were pretty good last year as well. But these kinds of mistakes, both against them versus for the other team, that they're doing this year, it's a little things. The things that you can control that are going to keep you from going deep into the playoffs. And so mistakes will cost you a Super Bowl. Unfortunately, I think it's the Eagles this year.
And let's take a moment, Derek. We said a lot of it in the preseason. This is a team that is facing massive overhaul. Shane Steichen going from the Eagles as their offensive coordinator to the Colts head coach. Jonathan Gannon being the defensive coordinator, defensive play caller, going and being the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Brian Johnson and Sean Desai, they're trying. You know, Vic Fangio was known for being one of their top defensive assistants last year. Who do they have this year? Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia is no Vic Fangio. I'm just talking about as far as defensive prowess, Derek. We can admit they're both bad head coaches. I was double checking, and last year their points per game was about 3 points a game higher. Mm-hmm. So imagine basically if you see the Eagles taking a field goal at some point, imagine they could go get a touchdown on that drive. Like, that's the difference in their offense from 1 year to the next. Whereas their points per game difference, as far as what they're allowing, last year they were eighth in the league, allowing 20 points per game, and now they're allowing 24 points per game. So now instead of them holding a field goal, they're giving up a touchdown. And that's what we're really seeing here, is a team that is losing points on both sides of the ball compared to where they were last year. I feel like came out hot because they had a lot of their carryover from what they were able to do well last year, have a little bit more film out there on them, ran into a tougher stretch of games. Jalen Hurts, I do think him being sick yesterday had an impact on that one. And they still finish Giants, Cardinals, Giants, which is a great way to finish the schedule and try to get yourself right before the postseason.
Agreed. Well, we're agreeing on that one. So enough about football. I want to talk about hitting a ball with your hands. So, Caleb, do you have any stories at all that you want to talk about where people hit balls with their hands?
So we've got to go ahead and take a moment and talk about Texas volleyball. It is painful to me to give it to them, but they earned the right to be back-to-back national champions. They really flustered Nebraska with their game plan and with how they played. They started off the year struggling, Derek. I read that they lost three of their first eight, and then they lost one game the rest of the year. So Texas, when they made it into this tournament as a two seed, they still were coming in on a crazy run, dominating a lot of their games down the stretch. They had lost people from their class last year, seniors that were critical to their championship team last year, and were trying to find their rhythm and find their mojo early in the year this year. It took them some time, but between talented players like Madison Skinner and Asia O'Neill, they were able to find a way to get it done, as they not only won, but they swept Nebraska in Tampa, Florida, 25-22, 25-14, and 25-11. Once they got a hold of the game there in that second set, they were not giving it up. Just a massive, great job. Madison Skinner was definitely the one who was the aggressive, or the most aggressive. She had 16 kills during the contest. Derek, I'm just going to ask you, because I could throw random volleyball stats out here. Are you familiar with what a kill is?
Yeah, it's where you,
in volleyball.
Yeah. I know the term. I just can't put a definition on it, but okay. I know when I see it.
So the kill is when you are the one who is doing. So if you think of it in terms of bump, set, spike, where you are, you know, you're doing the dig to get the ball up and making sure that they didn't hit one down on you. You have the set to push it up in the air and basically be the assist. It's the point guard of the volleyball team. And then you have the spike, and the spike is also the kill. So okay. You're going for the point, and I just think it's interesting because in statistics they call it a kill. I would love it if they just said, like, spike percentage, but whatever. If you want to be that aggressive volleyball, you do you. But Madison Skinner had 16 across the three-set match. So that means she was averaging at least getting 5 points just from that a match. Asia O'Neill did a great job out there. I think it was during the second set she had, like, four aces in a row where Nebraska just couldn't control her serve and was losing it. And Texas took off, and they never settled back down. Their setter, Ella Swindle, 21 assists, true freshman, great setter. She did a fantastic job. I also just have to mention that Asia O'Neill is the daughter of Jermaine O'Neill. So if you're not familiar with some of the talent that's coming in here, there's a lot of it. I will say that Nebraska went out and tried to take care of a lot of things on their side, but just wasn't getting it done well enough. Harper Murray had the most kills for Nebraska in this match with 7, but it was on, I believe it says, a total of 23 attempts. That's not a good ratio, Derek. Mm-hmm. You don't need me to explain that to you. So when you're struggling with the attack, you're not getting the blocks that you were getting. Against Pitt, Nebraska went out and had 8 blocks in the first set. So on their spikes, that Nebraska blocked 8 of them down for points. Like, you don't want that to happen to you. And I almost feel like Nebraska had it happening so easy against Pitt in the semifinal that when Texas was just hitting it over or just being more athletic, it was a bit of a surprise. But Texas goes, they are the 2022-2023 back-to-back national champions for volleyball. And kudos to them for getting it done on the national stage. I enjoyed watching that on NBC or ABC Sunday afternoon, because at that point I was very sick of watching Joe Barry's defense give up all the points to Baker Mayfield. It felt like we were perennially behind 2 possessions. And so I was able to go switch over and be like, hey, this is a good match. And then I was like, oh, actually, my heart is going to get broke by 2 teams on Sunday. It is what it is. Any other thoughts on this, Derek, or just things that you want to comment about, like, women's sports getting more of a prominent national spotlight?
Yeah, so my hope is that, I mean, because good on Texas for being back-to-back national champions in volleyball. You know, very congratulations to all the Longhorn fans out there. For volleyball, love to see what they do in the SEC next year, because I don't know, like, I know that the Big Ten is a really big volleyball conference, but much like, you know, the basketball and other sports that are non-football, you know, sometimes you don't really think about how the transition is going to be from the Big 12 to the SEC and how that's going to affect certain teams. So I don't know anything about SEC volleyball, but I think that they're going to be a force no matter what. So they seem to recruit well and to get girls in from wherever they can get them. And so, you know, let's have a rematch next year. Let's have Nebraska go up and keep Texas from being a back-to-back-to-back. Because I did call Texas-Nebraska for the national championship when we had the Final Four last week. So, you know, I'm at least doing something right. I just was overly hopeful for the Huskers.
I mean, I will say that if you're thinking of the SEC, probably the best teams there from this past season were Tennessee, Kentucky and Arkansas. And there was actually a point in the Stanford region where Tennessee had match point against Texas and could have knocked them out of the tournament at that point, but they didn't. Just imagine Texas winning that fourth. They won that fourth set 26-24 and then won the final set 16-14 against Tennessee. Like, I think they said that this was the first time that someone has ever faced a match point against them in the tournament and gone on to win the tournament. Normally, if you're facing match point, you're out. Like, kudos to Texas for never quitting.
Yeah.
Derek, let's go through some over-under results from before the season, jumping back to the pigskin here, as there were two teams that went over 10.5 wins this past week, and one of those was your bandwagon team. You love them so much, the San Francisco 49ers, and they went over 10.5. We both predicted that they would go over before the season. High fives to both of us on that. And the Ravens went over 10.5 as they found a way to get it done against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Derek, you did take the over on that one, so massive applause to you for getting the Ravens correct. I went under because I had gotten jaded of Lamar Jackson getting hurt too many years in a row. But apparently, I think he's at least, as we're getting late in December here, he's one of the people that I think is a contender for MVP. And Derek, anything you want to say about the Ravens or 49ers going over?
Yeah, I feel good about both of those teams having deep runs. So, like, I know they're at 11 right now, but I could see them winning 14 games this season if you add in the playoffs.
Absolutely. To go to the teams at 9.5 wins that we got one right and one very wrong. The Lions went over 9.5 wins this weekend as they did really well against a team that I'm not going to call out at this point. But they did go over the 9.5. So Derek and I both had the over. So good for us for having that. Bad for Derek for it to happen this week. And, the Dolphins went over 9.5 and we did not have that. You'll find out as we get to that later. I think it's later. No, we probably already had it. The Jets were a team that we had over. We were on the Rodgers hype train in the off season. And that didn't happen because Rodgers played less plays than we have episodes this season. So we did not hit the Dolphins, but we did hit the Lions. Derek, anything to add there?
Yeah, so both of us going over on the Lions, I mean, we feel that, I mean, we're right. They are coming along. They are taking step by step by step. Unfortunately, this will be their last year that they will be good, as their offensive coordinator is probably walking out the door to a head coaching job. And it's going to be an Eagles-based thing, basically. Like, you're going to lose your coordinators. You're going to regress. So, good on the Lions going over 9.5 this year. And the Dolphins, hey, guess what? Tua stayed healthy. And that was the reason why they went over. Is last year Tua had 97 concussions, if I counted them properly, a bunch. And so he couldn't stay on the field. Teddy Two Gloves did a good job last year. But no, it wasn't. It was Skylar Thompson. Sorry.
Teddy Two Gloves also got hurt.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about a certain game where they scored 70 points on a certain lovely team, but, their offense came out. Mike McDaniels is really a good coach and seems to be hitting on on all the cylinders. So good on them. I think that, I'm glad I was wrong.
And last but not least here, Derek, you got one of these right, and I got them both wrong. The Rams went over 6.5 wins this week, and the Buccaneers went over 6.5 wins this week. Again, pain for it to happen this week to me. We both were under on the Bucs. We did not see Baker getting that mojo going that fast in the NFC South. The Rams going over 6.5. I think we were still really concerned about how Stafford was going to look coming back from injury, what was going on with that team. We knew about the cup injury at that point and didn't really know about Puka Nacua. But, Derek, you had the over on the Rams. Congratulations. Two teams still fighting for playoff spots. Anything you want to add?
Yeah. So, Mr. Snead, GM of the Rams, please don't get rid of your picks just to win a Super Bowl. Look at Puka Nacua. You drafted him. He good. You're good at this drafting thing. I promise you that if you keep your draft picks, you're probably going to do a pretty good job. The demise of Sean McVay was very, very early, and he's a good coach. He's putting together a good offense. You know, he'll probably have his chance to bring back his former DC if he wants him there. But, like, the Rams, I think they're going to make some noise next year. This year they're going to fight for a playoff spot as they finally got their rear in gear. But good on them.
And let's go ahead and just give a quick shout-out to the teams that did clinch their spot in the playoffs this past week, as those went to the Eagles, Cowboys, and Ravens. The Eagles and Cowboys mainly due to the fact that the NFC is weak because they didn't earn a spot this week. The Ravens are currently in the one seed for the AFC. So shout out to them for being there. We will be talking more about the Ravens later in this podcast. Derek, let's just switch. Let's go to our goats of the week. I want to hear something happy. We just talked about teams making the playoffs. Who is your goat of the week?
Okay, so I want everyone to understand something. We watch a lot of games on Sundays and Saturdays, Monday nights, Thursday nights. These are real humans that play football, and they have support systems in their life. You know, they're not robots. They don't go out there. You know, they might cost you a fantasy football championship or something like that, but when they go home, they have wives, they have mothers, they have people that support them. You know, we talked about Tommy DeVito a couple weeks back, lives with his mom, still makes cutlets and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I want to give a shout out to my goat of the week because I want to say thank you for a great woman that gave me a lot of happiness in my life by being a support system to some great guys. And that's Peggy Shanahan. She is the wife of Mike Shanahan, who Mike Shanahan was the head coach of the Denver Broncos from 1995 to 2008. Mike Shanahan was Super Bowl champion in 1997, 1998, and the reason why I'm a Denver Broncos fan I loved the Broncos when they won, been a supporter of them ever since. This week, Peggy's son, Kyle, basically locked up the number one seed in the NFC. They locked up the NFC West, and they look like the team to beat to get to the Super Bowl. You're going to have a really hard time beating this team unless you go out and headhunt their quarterbacks, and like the Eagles did last year. But that being said, Peggy and Mike have been married since 1976. They have been married longer than I have been alive. And it warms my heart to see people who have been a support system for chasing dreams, because coaching is not an easy profession in this world. And, you know, people get fired every day from coaching positions because the players didn't, play their best, or they didn't make their cut, or they didn't block somebody. And that gets taken out on the coach because clearly the coach didn't do a good job. Coaches move around. When you're starting out in your coaching field, you're a, you know, offensive assistant and then coordinator, then, you know, you're doing something else, and then you're a head coach, and then you're, you know, you're a college coach, and then you're moving up, and you're moving all the time. So because the 49ers locked up the NFC West, I wanted to show that the people behind the great names, the people behind the people who we praise all the time, they're the ones who deserve praise. So my goat of the week is a person who has supported the people that have brought me joy, and that's Peggy Shanahan.
Derek, I really love how heartfelt that was, how real and sincere it was, and I don't have anything like that for my go-to of the week. So I'm like, I don't have a transition here. I don't have anything. I'm just going to slam someone because, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
It's okay.
So, my apologies to anyone who may feel like I'm ruining Derek's tone because it's very sweet and beautiful. And, I'm going to not be in that same realm of thought. So, my goat of the week is Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney has been a wide receiver for the Bears for several years. His best year, of course, was back in 2021 when he had 81 catches and went over 1,000 yards and still only had 4 touchdowns, but solid year for him. This year, it's been a bit more of a struggle. He's still a starting receiver in that Bears offense, but so far this year, it's only been 29 catches, 409 yards, and a touchdown. You know, he hasn't been the guy. He hasn't been the primary focal point. And even this past week, he had just 2 catches for 14 yards. That's not why I'm giving him a hard time here. I'm giving him a bit of a hard time today because it really felt to me that the ball landed on top of him during a Hail Mary at the end of the game against the Browns, and all he needed to do was find a way to hold on to it. He could not. It ended up being an interception because it got flipped back up in the air. The Browns took it and kneeled down at like the 2-yard line because the clock was out. If Darnell Mooney finds a way to catch that, they win. They're somehow 6-8. The Bears are feeling alive in the NFC with teams that they probably have no business feeling alive next to. I mean, even being the same record as the Packers, being up there with, you know, one game out of the playoffs with teams like the Rams, like there were so many things that would look and feel different today if the Bears would have won that game. They didn't. It's okay. It's just a painful moment because I really was looking at the Bears the last few weeks. They're upset over Detroit. Them looking like they're just getting things together. And I want to see a Bears team that's strong enough to be second in the NFC North. I don't want them to be first. I want to reserve that spot for the Packers. But, you know, when your rivals are down all the time, it makes the rivalry not so fun. The ownership is currently in jeopardy. As you know, it's switching from Rodgers to Love. But the Bears looked like they were doing something, and Darnell Mooney, I really thought he was going to have that and make the AFC playoff race a lot more chaotic as well, because then the Browns would also be 8-6, but they are not. Alas, they are 9-5 as elite Joe Flacco continues to take care of business. Any other comments here about Darnell Mooney here, Derek?
Yes. So to our younger listeners, I came out and I gave a lot of praise to my goat. I'm going to tear Caleb's goat apart. You are paid millions of dollars to catch a ball. And I get that it wasn't the way you normally catch a ball, but you know that there's a bunch of chaos that's happening, and if it hits you in the chest or sternum or tummy, wherever it hits you, and it's bouncing around and you are able to touch it with your hands, you need to secure that ball. Sorry, you don't have an option in that. Your job professionally is to put hands on balls when with touchdowns. You need to, I mean, Justin Fields gave you an opportunity. I'll tell you about the defense too. They gave up that Amari Cooper touchdown way too easily. I watched that game and I was very peeved at the Bears defense. Are you just trying to get two top five picks? Are you trying to lose games? Cause you were in that game and you should have won that game. Hey, defense, stop them. And don't allow it to get to that point. But Mooney, I'm putting it on you. You had the ball in your hands. You were in the end zone. Catch the ball.
Absolutely. Well, let's continue to go down and let's have something a little bit more lighthearted after that, Derek. You were talking quite well about Peggy Shanahan. It is the holiday season and one of the best holiday songs that will be stuck in your head forever when you hear it is the 12 Days of Christmas, because it is an earworm and you repeat everything 152 times, it feels like. So, Derek, I wanted to go ahead and I'm not going to sing it, but this is the 12 Brody Days of Christmas. And I just want to run through each of them, make sure that everything's clear as to why we are picking this out, because let's have some fun. It's the holidays. So, for 12, the 12th day of Christmas is 12 perfect puns. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so we have a lot of puns and we try to put as many as we can in here. So at least 12 perfect puns.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I don't have a higher number on this list. So, the only way that it could possibly get higher is potentially something, if Creed could take me higher, then that would potentially happen.
13 perfect puns.
Then for 11, I just went with 11 men on the field. You know, sometimes defenses try to have 12. Sometimes teams have like 9 or 10 out there when they're supposed to have 11. We just want to focus on having 11 men on the field on every play, because no one likes the flag for too many or not enough or too many in the huddle. It's boring. 11 men on the field, Derek. Any extra comments there?
Let's send this podcast to Notre Dame, who had less than 11 men on the field versus Ohio State, and also the Buffalo Bills when Denver beat them. But 11 men on the field on that side of the ball.
All right. Note taken. Now for probably my saltiest one on this list. I had 10 Dolphin touchdowns. Just a throwback reference to when the Dolphins scored 70 earlier this year. Definitely one of the moments of the year. I almost thought that I was going to have to alter that as I was watching some of the Thursday night performance as the Raiders were scoring fast and furious. But we kept it with the 10 for the Dolphins. Derek, any thoughts?
Yeah, I hate you and everything you stand for, and I want to cry.
All right, sounds good. Next I had 9 Gundy wins. Go Pokes.
Yeah, now Derek. I don't hate you anymore. I love you again, and we're friends. So that was a hard 30 seconds of my life, but I think you learned your lesson. Don't talk about the Denver Broncos and talk about the OSU Cowboys. Go Pokes.
Absolutely. Then I put 18 weeks, because There are 18 weeks in the NFL season.
I love the use of teen weeks. 18 weeks.
We do have puns, so it's me this making some creative liberty with the lyrics.
I love the extra game. I think it's done a good job. I definitely like the fact that you can no longer have an 8-8 season. You have to have either a winning or a losing season unless you want to tie, and no one likes ties.
I was going to say, unless you're the Steelers and you go 8-1.
Yes.
They find a way to do it, I feel like, every other year. 7 blueprints.
Yes.
Derek, do you have any blueprints on teams recently?
Yeah, I know exactly how to stop the Philadelphia Eagles because, the Bosa from the 49ers, he said, hey, I've got the blueprints for stopping the Eagles, and they've lost 3 in a row. So if we have the blueprints on breaking down games, we have 7 of them at least.
We always have the blueprints. Always. 6 wild card teams, Derek. I know that feels a bit odd to me because I remember when there was 4 wild card teams, but there are now 6. Any thoughts about 6 wild card teams?
Back in my day, there was 4 wild card teams. You get off my lawn or get off my turf or whatever. There are 6 wild card teams now.
Nice. I like the old man voice, Derek.
Yeah.
And then, of course, 5 Brody.
Brody bets.
Bets. Yes. We each have 5 a week. Sometimes we go more, sometimes we don't, but typically 5 Brody bets is the standard for us here on the podcast, and it felt like it fit right in that wheelhouse. Then I went with 4 episodes a month. Yeah, we usually release this weekly, so sometimes there might be 5 episodes, but you can guarantee that in a typical month, we're going to have 4 episodes for you at least.
Yeah, I enjoy getting these episodes out to you guys and on a weekly, getting to talk to the people out there. It's really nice.
Then I went with 3 coaches fired. Josh McDaniels, Brandon Staley, and Frank Reich. We will remember you. We remember you.
Yeah, there's going to be more by, you know, this is just 3 coaches so far. There's going to be plenty more in the next 2 weeks.
I thought about trying to put the number up higher and trying to predict it, mm-hmm. and I decided, no, I'm not trying to do that. Then I went with 2 challenges. Good old challenge flags. They're not the go-to that I feel like they used to be, Derek, because now, like, there's so many things that are instantly reviewed, but I love the red challenge flag.
Yeah, we need to go through all of the coaches and the head coaches in the NFL, find out where they put the red flag, because, like, there's guys that stick it in their shoe so they don't, like, grab it accidentally. There's, guys who have a dude on their staff that has the red flag, so they have to think for like a second before they throw it. So I want to know where everyone keeps their red flag.
So I want to know that. I also think that we'll maybe make this part of the Pro Bowl. Can we have like a red flag throwing contest?
Ooh, good, yeah.
Like, consider it to be almost like a slam dunk contest. Like, you can do it where you're like standing right up next to the ref, waving the red flag in their face and then like throwing it smack down into the ground like a Gronk spike. Or like, let's see if someone can like take Harbaugh, for example. Why can't we like see if he can like put it out into the midfield logo? Like, just not even like casually toss it. Like, let's act like we're playing like a wild game of cornhole here or something.
I think we definitely need a horseshoes game with red flags for the Pro Bowl. Like, let's get you know, the cornhole out. Let's get closest to the pin. That's a really good idea.
I mean, let's face it, it's the Pro Bowl games anyway, so it's not like this is inherently worse than any of the other games they have.
What if you have a talent portion of, like, the best throw, but, like, the most creative throw? Like, do you get Mike McDaniel and, like, Sean McVay out there to, like, scheme up a way to throw the flag?
Yes, that would be fantastic. Or you get your assistant coaches, and somehow you find a way to, like, before the play is up, you somehow, like, Harlem Globetrotter it up to where you do that and then throw the red flag out onto the field.
Yeah, like...
I would love to see that. I would love to see that so much.
Yeah, that's good.
But that's enough red. That's enough red. Because we close with America's brightest orange. Derek, it's a pleasure to do the podcast with you every week, buddy. And I know that when you have a partridge in a pear tree, America's Brightest Orange was the thing that just rolled right off to go into that. So,
yeah, I am so glad to be doing this. You know, if it wasn't one type of orange, it'd be another type of orange. So I'm not sure that you could get away with either Oklahoma State or Tennessee. So our correspondent on assignment out there, doing the Lord's work, being an Eagles fan, even through the 3-game losing streak, and a Tennessee Volunteers fan. Good on you, Sean.
Well, our game of the week this week is going to be late on Christmas Day, as we are going to the Monday night contest between the current number one seed in the AFC, in the Baltimore Ravens, as they are traveling across the coast to take on the San Francisco 49ers in Levi's Stadium. One of them will be having a Merry Christmas, and the other one will feel like they had coal in their stocking. Derek, what is your matchup to watch on the night of Christmas?
Okay, so for me, I'm looking at the quarterback situation, and I'm looking at Lamar Jackson having to hold on to the ball a little bit longer than he would probably want to. There's longer developing plays. You know, if you can tire out the secondary, I'm not sure quick passes is going to be what is going to win you the game. So for me, it's Lamar versus the Big Bear, Mr. Bosa, over there on that side, coming to give him a hug. It's Christmas time, it's, you know, holiday season, whatever you want to celebrate out there. We just want to spread peace and love, and hugs are the best form of that. Now, I mean, you hug him so hard, you sometimes take him to the ground. That happens. So the one thing that you really have to avoid, I talked about it earlier, is the fumbles. So, you know, if you get that big old boy coming around the edge and you don't see him coming, you can get your arm knocked. He forces a lot of fumbles, and that's going to give the 49ers extra possessions and take possessions away from the Ravens. So for me, Lamar versus Bosa, and can Lamar move? Can he create enough time to get the ball downfield to his receivers? No punt return wins for the Ravens.
Not this week. Not for you. That's not what you want this time. I'm going to the other side of the ball, where I think it's potentially who I think is the best candidate for MVP from the 49ers in Christian McCaffrey. And I'm going with Roquan Smith on the other side. The Ravens traded for him. He has been huge for them on their defense. Roquan Smith is a beast at linebacker, and there's not very many linebackers that play middle linebacker the way that Roquan does. And I just think it's going to be interesting to see Roquan trying to find the gaps and hit them at the same time as Christian McCaffrey, potentially covering him on wheel routes out of the backfield. Hopefully Roquan does not have a moment where Christian McCaffrey catches it, falls down as he catches it, and then gets up and gets into the end zone like he did this past week against Arizona, because that would be embarrassing for this matchup that I'm telling you to watch. But I'm sure it won't be like one-on-one the whole time, but I think Roquan Smith and Christian McCaffrey, two super athletic dudes, potentially because Christian McCaffrey and Fred Warner only takes place at practice, the best running back and linebacker that we can see go head-to-head in a game. I think that it will be a thrilling matchup.
I love that matchup. Love watching what CMC has done while coming over to the 49ers. He was great, and the Panthers did a lot of good things, and he was the offense. But he has just gone to another level with that offense, with that offensive line, and with having a little bit more freedom for those wheel routes, for the runs that he wants to do. And Roquan's going to stop him. Like, there's going to be some collisions. There's going to have to be some schemes to keep him away from getting beat up so much heading into the playoffs. So, yeah, that's a really good matchup because, whew, boy, howdy, can that Roquan Smith hit somebody.
Hey, Derek, before we switch over to the Brody Bets, we've been talking about Christmas. This game's going to happen on Christmas night. Do you know what Christmas story Russell Wilson likes to read to his children?
I have no idea.
He usually goes, "'Twas the night before Christmas. Let's ride." Because the Broncos are playing on Christmas Eve evening against the New England Patriots. And I just wanted to get that kind of spirit and intensity as we switch over to the Brody Bets.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about last week's Brody Bets. Last week, Caleb went 0-5, which if you've ever watched the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, if you know all the wrong answers, you clearly know the right answers. So I think he was just trying to hold back a little bit so I wouldn't feel bad, because I only went 1-3-1. So we didn't have a good week. Kids at home, please don't gamble. Our wives would kill us, and we live in Oklahoma, so there's no way that we can gamble. So I am
grateful.
Yeah, very, very, very true. So my bowl game was New Mexico State versus Fresno State. I had the over 51.5. That only got to 47. So, you know, I could have used a little bit more points there. My Broncos lost. I had Broncos +5. They lost by more than that. And the one that bothers me the most is I had Atlanta -3 at Carolina. Carolina comes out, puts up 3 field goals, and Falcons only score 7 points. So, Panthers win outright. My push this week, Chicago +3 at the Browns. We talked about it earlier. Shouldn't have been a 3-point game. They should have won by 4, but Chicago should have, but it's okay. But my only win last week was the over in the Kansas City New England game. I had over 37.5. Patriots 17, Chiefs 27. That's 44 points altogether. I got the win on that one. So I thought the Chiefs were going to get after it. 27 points isn't bad. Caleb last week had Boise State +2 at UCLA. The Buccaneers under 41.5. That was a little bit a little bit over. That was a grand total of 54 points scored. Vikings at Bengals. Bengals minus 3.5. That's a 3-point,
That one was gut wrenching.
Cowboys plus 2.5 at the Bills. Bills win by 21. And wild card game, the Chargers and Raiders under 33.5. That game had 84 points scored. So, I don't think you
missed
your under.
That one. I just missed that one.
But what's so great about the holiday season is that you get another shot and some presents might come to you by Santa Claus. I'm going to go ahead and start off with my bowl game of the week, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. That is Georgia State versus Utah State. In this game, I love the Aggies. And so I have Utah State minus 1.5 in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. If I did not choose the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, I would be haunted by my Irish ancestors. And so I must choose the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Go Aggies.
Nice one. I love that because that's where Jordan Love went to school. So instant appreciation for that pick.
I thought so, but I didn't want to say it because I was like, that wasn't BYU, was it? No, that was Zach. Yeah, I was trying to do the math in my head, and it didn't work.
Yes. Talking about sports and trying to think through like an answer on the second part of that is very hard to do at the same time, my friends. Meanwhile, I'm going for my bowl game because I'm going with Big Ten bowl games. I'm going to the SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl between Utah and Northwestern. This one is going to be at Allegiant Stadium. It is at the same time as it was last week, 6:30 p.m. Central Time on ABC. Utah is a 6.5-point favorite against Northwestern with an over-under on this game of 41.5. I'm going to go ahead and take this game and take the under. I think these are two teams that like to run the ball, like to play defense, and like to just keep it super low scoring. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Utes and the Wildcats under 41.5.
I love that we both took Utah schools with our bowl game predictions. It's really great. Do you want to hop over to your NFL game with the team that you own?
So I'm very torn because when I look at this game on paper and I see that the Packers are the favorite, I feel like they should win. They should be able to beat the Panthers in Carolina. It should not even be much of a contest because I think that the Packers have a lot to play for. And if nothing else, the Panthers probably want to keep winning because they don't even have their first round pick next year. In fact, it's kind of a lose-lose situation. We either beat the Panthers and we give up some of our draft position, but if the Panthers beat us, we probably miss the playoffs, but we also keep the Bears potentially from getting the number one draft pick. But I'm going to go ahead and take the Packers minus the 4.5. The over-under is 36.5, very low scoring game. I'm just going to take the Packers to win. I tried to do an over-under with the Packers last week. It just showed that I can't trust Joe Barry's defense. And so I want to take the Packers to win by that 4.5. I could be terribly wrong, but I will say that tickets for this game for the Panthers seem to be quite a bit more than they were for the Panthers game against the Falcons last week.
Yeah, good, good on there. Let's go Packers. As I really think that Panther pick, I think the Panthers need to lose a lot more. So for me, we have the Denver Broncos at home versus the Pat Riots, the fighting Bailey Zappies, you know, that, those kind of folks on there. You know, Mac Jones is benched. You know, maybe he'll come back. Who knows? But I'm taking my Broncos -6 in this game. Broncos country, let's ride. Let's get these wins. Let's make some people sweat for their playoff positions and playoff spots. So Broncos -6 at home versus the Patriots. So speaking of teams, I'm going to jump up to my favorite over here. We've talked about the Eagles earlier. I want to talk about a division rival of those Eagles. I have the Dallas at Miami game. Miami is a 1.5-point favorite in this game. The way that Dallas has looked the last couple of weeks has been up and down, and I think Miami is trying to put people out of their misery right now, trying to rack up those wins, trying to make their playoff standings better. I have Miami -1.5, as I think that they take this game pretty handily. We'll see who's healthy and who's playing in this game, but I like Miami at home.
Going to Miami, that's what you're doing. I'm gonna go ahead and go with another Christmas game because I'm feeling nice and Christmassy here. And I'm going to go ahead and take a team that wears green instead of a team that wears blue because it is Christmas. And I'm going to take the Eagles -12 against the New York Football Giants, as I think that it is going to be a silent night in the city of brotherly love as Jalen Hurts and the push shove get the Eagles a solid home win. They are 5-1 at home. Their only loss at home was to those pesky 49ers. And I can assure you this, the Giants are not the 49ers. So, fly Eagles fly, -12.
So before we move on, since you're talking about the Eagles, did you see the controversial play at the Eagles game? They called a false start on Jason Kelce for moving the ball forward as he has all year long. It's on the tush push. It's on brotherly shove, whatever you want to call it. But he's, he does move it forward, but he's getting a grip and he's putting he's been doing it all year long. Do you think there's going to be more of this crackdown of like being very litigious when it comes to these flags, like, or do you think that because Patrick Mahomes made people mad that anyone attached to anyone that likes Patrick Mahomes is going to get punished? Like, Patrick Mahomes throws the ball to Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce's brother, Jason Kelce, is going to get flagged a bunch for doing something that he's been doing all year long. And do you think the flag should have been called?
I don't think the flag should have been called. I think that the referees this year have been appalling. They are not doing a great job, and we need better ones. I don't know what it will take. I want the skybox ref. I want so many things, Derek, and I know that I'm not going to get them. But, like, if you throw the flag and then you go, maybe we need to pick that one up. Like, you can actually do it before you've changed it from a 4th-and-1 to a 4th-and-6.
Yeah, I just don't know how you call some of these flags. Either way, thank you for that hot take. And I'm hopping over to the fighting Pat McAfee's, as my underdog is Indianapolis +1, headed to the Dirty Birds in Atlanta. I think Indiana walks away with this one outright. I think they're a good team. I think that they have things going in the right direction. I think that we can probably see why the Eagles are struggling just a little bit, because their offensive coordinator is doing a pretty good job in Indianapolis. So Indianapolis plus one at Atlanta. That's my underdog.
I like that pick, Derek. Going with a road underdog. I'm going to go ahead and keep it the same. And I'm going to go ahead and go with the team that's going to go marching in. And they like to say, who dat? But I'm going with the Saints plus four at the Rams. I think that if anything, this game is probably closer to a coin flip. And with the Rams being in L.A., and just being a little bit better known, they're getting that like 3 or 4 point cushion for being at home. I think a field goal is going to win this game, whether it takes the lead or breaks a tie. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Saints plus four. And what I think is a really exciting Thursday night football game.
I'm not sure people can generally say that anymore is an exciting Thursday night football game. So let's go ahead and get our wild cards out the way. For me, I'm going to stay with my AFC West brethren as I have the Chiefs and Raiders. As I think the Chiefs are going to march. I say march. They're going to... I don't even know what the verb I would use on that. I think they're just going to whoop up on the Raiders. The over-under for this game is 41.5. I've got the Chiefs Raiders going over 41.5, as I don't believe in either one of these defenses. And I think the Chiefs can score some points. So Kansas City, Las Vegas, over 41.5.
I mean, we all know that Aiden O'Connell can throw for several touchdown passes in one game. So
several.
I will give you this as well. Raiders, Chiefs, Giants, Eagles, Ravens, 49ers. We have talked about all of the Christmas Day games. Thank you. Santa, if you're listening, we have been very nice, good boys this year. And we want to make sure that you know what to give the boys over with the Brodies.
Get me off the naughty list. I didn't mean to.
Derek does not know whether or not Santa is a Raiders fan, so he's just trying to get all of his chips spread out there this week to make sure things go well. And I'll say some good things about teams that have losing records. I'm going to go with the Commanders-Jets wild card game for me. It is a wild card. It is not a wild card game, just to be clear. This is not a postseason game. These teams are not making the postseason. I'm going over 37.5 in that contest, though. Will it be because of a pick six from Sam Howell or someone? Possibly. But give me Commanders Jets over 37.5 as I really, really hope that game is not being shown on my local television. By any chance, I will not watch it.
Yeah, I'm not even sure they should play the game on the field. Like, maybe in like a practice field where no one has to watch that brand of football.
I mean, I've heard that MetLife, it doesn't have good turf anyway, so it kind of might feel like a practice field.
Watch out, Commanders. Please don't get hurt.
I mean... The only field they might more likely get hurt at is their own. Okay. Well, I got to get off of here before I say too many bad things after trying to pump us up the nice list. So, one, if you want to say nice things about us, please leave us a good 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. If it will allow you to do so, we always love and appreciate that. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And if you're checking us out on Spotify, you can always give us a episode review there as well, I believe, and give us 5 stars for this specific episode because maybe you just love the 12 Brody Days of Christmas for 2023 or other things like America's Brightest Orange. But on behalf of Captain Orange, my co-host, my name is Caleb Walgren. Thank you for listening to this fun and festive episode of Brody Sports Talk. We are signing out. Later, y'all.
Bye, guys.
Brody. Brody, Brody, Brody. Brody, 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 Brody Sports Talk. Brody. Brody, Brody, Brody. Brody, 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 Brody Sports Talk. Brody. Brody, Brody, Brody. Brody, 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 Brody Sports Talk. Brody Sports Talk.
What's up, Brody?